The Mirage of 1798. In this paper, Professor Vince details some observations made at Ramsgate in a sultry evening after an extremely hot day in August of 1798 under a clear sky from elevations sometimes of 25, at other times of 80 feet above the water, with a telescope magnifying 30 or 40 times. He first directed the telescope towards a ship, the top masts of which were just visible above the horizon. The same time he discovered in the field of view two complete images of the ship in the air, directly over the ship itself, the lower image being inverted and the upper one erect, having their hulks joined. As the ship was receding from the shore, less and less of its masts became visible, and as the ship descended, the images ascended, but as it did not sink entirely below the horizon, he had not an opportunity of observing in what order and at what time the images would in that case have vanished. Upon directing his telescope towards another ship, whose hulk was visible on the horizon, he observed a complete inverted image, the main mast of which just touched that of the ship itself, and which moved as the ship moved without any variation in its appearance. In this case, there was no second image. The next ship to which he directed his telescope was so far on the other side of the horizon as just to prevent its hulk from being seen. At first, only an image of the topsail of the mast joining that of the ship and an image of the bowsprit were visible. These images would suddenly appear and disappear very quickly after each other, first appearing below and running up very rapidly, showing more or less of their masts at different times as they broke out, resembling in the quickness of their breaking out the shooting out of a beam of the Aurora Borealis. The ship was receding, and he found that as it descended beyond the horizon, more of the image gradually appeared, till an image of the whole ship was completed, with the main masts touching each other, and as the ship descended lower, the image and ship separated, but no second image was observed. On moving the telescope along the horizon, he observed the top of the mast of a ship just visible. Directly over this, at some little distance, was an inverted image of a vessel, and above that, an erect image, both of them very perfect and well-defined, and an image of the sea between them, the water appearing very distinctly. As the ship approached the horizon, the upper erect image gradually disappeared and vanished, and after that, the image of the water disappeared, and the lower inverted image descended. He thinks that if he had directed his telescope to that point sooner, he should have seen the two images before any part of the ship itself was visible. Upon turning the telescope towards the cliffs at Calais, which were visible, he observed an image of the cliffs above the cliffs themselves, with an image of the sea between them. Afterwards, an inverted image of a ship appeared against the cliffs, while the hulk of the ship was below the horizon. He supposes from the appearance of the fog soon after, in that direction, that there was, at the time he made these observations, a considerable fog on the other side of the horizon. These observations were often repeated, and the images in general well defined. The usual refraction at the same time was so great that the cliffs at Calais were visible at the water's edge, whereas they are frequently not to be seen in clear weather, from the high lands about the place. To explain these appearances, Professor Vince supposes three rays to reach the eye from the object. One ray is subject to the ordinary refraction and exhibits an image in the natural way, a little above the true place of the object. A second ray is supposed to pass above the first ray through air varying quicker in its refractive power than the air through which the first ray passed, and therefore having a greater curvature, the convexity being upwards and presenting the second image. In like manner, if a quicker variation of the refractive power should take place along this curve. A third ray may describe a third curve still higher, also convex upwards, and presenting a third image still higher than either of the former. The alterations of refractive power, Professor Vince supposes, may arise partly from the variations of its density and partly from the variations of its moisture and the passages of the rays through the boundary of the fog, where they may suffer a very considerable refraction.